See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Just an NFL note here. Jimmy Garoppolo has been ruled out. Nick Mullins is going to start this weekend. They stayed in New York back-to-back games for the San Francisco 49ers against the Jets and the Giants. Good thing for the 49ers, I guess, even with all the injuries, is that the Jets and the Giants stink, right? It was amazing what they did last week, considering all the guys they didn't have going into the game and then the guys right. they were losing in the game. This week, who knows, because it just makes it worse now without Bosa. I think Kittle is on track to return, but no Garoppolo. Mostert's got the MCL sprain. He's not going to play. They'll lean on Jerick McKinnon. Solomon Thomas is out. He might have had a torn ACL too, right? Was Bosa and Thomas both had torn ACL? So they are just decimated.
Yeah, Bosa for sure, yeah.
Yeah, Bosa for sure. I think Thomas too. They have just been decimated by injury, and Garoppolo has been ruled out for this weekend. A little bit more on the NFL coming up here. Yurko's got his keys in like 15 minutes, and then at 11:30 we'll go to Vegas, talk to our buddy Todd Furman. And Mike North's got his bonus play at 11:45. It's time right now to say hi to Chuck Garfine. He talks White Sox with us each and every Friday at this time. He joins Carmen and Yurko on the Corona Hotline. And Chuck, of course, breaks it down on NBC Sports Chicago. And he, like everybody else in the White Sox world right now, is frustrated. Your partners on TV are frustrated. I can tell, Chuck. It was a rough week in Cleveland.
There's angst,
to say the least.
Yeah, I wanted to come on the show today talking about Nomar Mazara's huge two-run single to give the White Sox a 4-1 lead. Nomar Mazara turning the whole season around. But unfortunately, we're not talking about that. You don't want to ask me about Nomar Mazara's big base hit late in the game?
No, I don't, unfortunately. I wish we could have just talked about that. Even if that was the best thing from yesterday, I think we still complained about Luis Robert and where he's batting in the order. But we'll get to that. I mean, Rick Renteria, I don't know that he had much of a choice. He said, okay, put it on me. What was he thinking? I mean, like, that's really what you got to wonder, right? I don't know on what level that makes sense to go to Carlos Rodon there with the bases loaded, Chuck.
All right, so the way I look at things is this. There are the four toughest things to do in sports. Hit a baseball is one. Number two is kicking a game-winning field goal. Number three, sinking a big putt on 18 to win a tournament. Four is managing a bullpen. And the toughest part about four versus the first three I mentioned is those first three are all dealing with the present. I need to hit this baseball now. I need to sink this putt now. I need to kick this field goal now. Managing a bullpen is trying to, if not predict the future, anticipate the future and see what all the things that can happen in the future. And you have all these pieces you're working with. So that is what Rick Renteria's challenge was. Not just last night, but Tuesday, that didn't work. Jose Ramirez hits a home run off Jose Ruiz. Wednesday, the problem with Ruiz was Colome tweaked his back apparently so that he couldn't go back out for another inning. And then obviously he chose Gio Gonzalez to come in. He gives it the home run to Luplo. And then last night. So it's going to be a long-winded answer, but here, I'll give it to you. My feeling on this is this. They needed a win.
Yes,
Frank
they
Thomas
did.
I said on the pregame show, this is the most important game of the season. They needed a win, okay? Get the win. So they get to the seventh inning. They take a 4-1 lead. You're feeling good. You put Jimmy Cordero out there. He gives up three singles. One hit hard. But, okay, now the bases are loaded. We got to get someone up in the bullpen, stop the bleeding, because we know what's coming. Cesar Hernandez, Lindor is coming. Cesar Hernandez, who is not a great hitter, but he's been phenomenal against the White Sox and in this series. And then you know what's after that. That's Jose Ramirez. So you have a choice to make. Now, in his mind, before the game, Rick Renteria wanted to put Aaron Bummer in for a clean inning.
Right.
That would have been my choice. Now, at this point, what's going on is Cordero's gotten two outs. Now there's two outs and the base is loaded. You're about to get out of this. It's even more of a reason I would have put in Aaron Bummer, because stop the bleeding. But here's what the choice he made instead. And this is why managing, I'm glad I'm not a manager. It's easy to sit and watch a game and say, why is this guy in the game? And why isn't that guy in the game? It's very easy to stay that at that very moment. You got to think ahead, and that's what the managers, the good managers, the great ones especially, do. So what happened was, the choice he made was this. He decided to go with Carlos Rodon. My problem with Carlos Rodon is this. I believe in Carlos Rodon. I do. The problem was, you have someone who's coming off Tommy John surgery. He then gets hurt. He then rehabs. He then, instead of having a minor league stint, he is working out in Schaumburg doing, you know, intra-squad games.
Towel
you then put him on the active. You put him on the active. Yeah, you put him on the active. Well, it's more than that, but
no,
you put him on the active roster. You put him right into a pennant race. You put him in a game where they've lost three in a row to the Indians. The bases are loaded. There's two outs. You're up by three. And then you're going to send him in against Cesar Hernandez and Jose Ramirez. I want Aaron Bummer in that situation. It backfired, and this is where we're at.
Yeah, it's rough. I've seen enough of Jose Ramirez, too, for sure. I've also seen enough of Luis Robert, I think, in the 7-hole. I mean, he hasn't hit a hit since September 15th. Think about that for a second. Today's the 25th. He didn't play last night. He's 0 for his last 26 with 14 strikeouts. That's bad. I mean, it can't, and I know you guys have spent a lot of time on it this week on the postgame show, you and Frank and Ozzie. I mean, isn't it time for Ricky to at least see for this weekend? If it gets his confidence going a little, if he gets a couple of hits, move him up in the order?
Well, the up in the order conversation, we've had that a lot. And they just got to get him going. And there are so many steps you can take to try to get a young guy or any person out of a slump. He's deep in the weeds. He has drawn some walks. That gives me a little bit of hope. I just think I'm hoping, because he is so talented, I'm hoping just the one day off, maybe two, because, I mean, you want to bring him back against Darvish? Probably not. I mean, I actually would sit him today, and then he's got two lefties on Saturday and Sunday in Lester and Quintana.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what they decide to do.
Go ahead. Do the White Sox wish it was anybody but the Cubs? Any other team but them?
I think the Cubs will be good. I mean, that's what they need. They need something like, okay, now, I mean, I'm more concerned about, well, Darvish, that's not exactly what you want when you aren't hitting.
Right.
But I think, like, they just want to get out of Cleveland. Like, get them out of Cleveland and not having to face that pitching staff. Now, it doesn't help that you went from Bieber to Plesac to Darvish. But I'll just say this. Like, you know, Sox fans, the Sox players, that team looked great last night. They really did. They scored four runs off of Plesac. I really think they are ready to, you know, I think they're ready for the playoffs. I do. Unfortunately, you had the Rodon blow-up that happened, and it led to, and you're facing a red-hot Indians team, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
I still think, you know, I don't think it, you know, we talk about the matchups. I don't want to see them play the Indians in the playoffs, but just get them out of Cleveland, put them in a new position, new team, new city, and let's kind of like reboot and start over, because they're still making the playoffs.
They're certainly not in the business of moral victories, right, Chuck, because they're big leaguers. This is, you know, this is big time stuff. But like, I, to your point, I mean, that they don't look like a team that has just rolled over and said, we don't care about this week anymore. You know, I mean, even if you go back to the first game in Cleveland, they were in an early hole. They rallied back. They tied the game. I mean, you know, unfortunately, they got walked off a couple times by a scorching hot Indians team, and they took a late lead last night. So, like, I guess to that point, they don't look like they don't appear to be acting like a dead team walking, right?
No. Yeah. See, that's the thing. We need to remind ourselves that the White Sox are actually playing good baseball. There have been late inning issues. Let's just say that. And when you talk about what's really good about this team, I mean, no offense to these guys, because they're all major leaguers, okay? And it is not easy. But the reasons why on the field, why they lost the last three games are due to three players that are not the nucleus of this team right here, right now, and who led this team to get to this point. And I'm talking about Jose Ruiz, Gio Gonzalez, and Carlos Rodon. Now, obviously, Luis Robert is struggling, you know, and you can throw him into that mix of, you know, what's going on with this team. But, like, they had bullpen meltdowns, and this bullpen is really, really good. But they're. Ricky's trying to figure out if Carlos Rodon is ready for the playoffs, and I get that. I just would have not I don't think last night was the night to be experimenting with that. It was, in my opinion, the wrong time to do it because of what had transpired the three, four, just the whole week before. A week ago at this very moment, on this very call that I was doing with you, the Sox had just taken three out of four from the Twins,
right,
and they had clinched a playoff spot. Since then, they're 1-6. Hmm. I understand why they're gearing towards the playoffs, but let's be honest, this is a coaching staff that, other than Don Cooper, hasn't coached in the playoffs before. And that's what Frank Thomas was trying to say. Like, he understands what it takes to get to the postseason, win in the postseason. You can't fool around. You got to win games, especially when you've been struggling the way they've been doing. So the game last night, it's, you know, flush it down the toilet. The whole series, flush it down the toilet. They now have to just they're in the muck. There's adversity, but all it takes is, you know, get a win or win two out of three here against the Cubs. You're going to feel better going into the playoffs.
Chuck, thanks, buddy. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk next week. It's going to be fun.
It will be fun.
See you, buddy. There's Chuck Arfine, at Chuck Arfine on Twitter, who covers the White Sox for NBC Sports Chicago, and he joins us every Friday. You lose a game like that, you get swept like that, now you got to, and you're facing the Cubs, and I'm sure they're fired up, but now you got to face Darvish. You know, it's like, try to flush it down the toilet best you can and just roll on, but you face a really good pitcher tonight in Yu Darvish. Maybe Luis Robert does get one more day and then face a couple lefties over the weekend. We'll see. I hope he pops a couple of hits this weekend.
It only takes one, don't you think? Going to take one. It's going to take him seeing something and driving it hard for him to get the confidence back.
I hope so.
Yeah, it's like being on a golf course, Carm, and all of a sudden you're duck hooking everything left and you're pushing everything right, trying to get rid of the snap hooks, and the next thing you know, you put one right down the fairway and you're like, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
There it is, and then all it is confidence. Yeah. So hopefully he gets something for you as you head into the playoffs, Carm.
Yurko's keys coming up next. How's your stinger coming?
The Baker's dozen, I should say the Yurko's dozen, has been released. It's out on Twitter at the top of the hour. I already had it out.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm waiting for the response.
So you scooped our own show?
I tagged. Listen, kid, there's multiple platforms. I don't know what you're talking about.
Shouldn't this be the first outlet?
I mean, if you've not learned anything here under Good Karma Brands, that we've got multiple platforms.
Karma, are you with me? I'm kind of with Merck on this one. I mean, why are you scooping yourself? I mean, this is, you know, you should have.
This is where you're.
No, the Baker's Dozen is released this way every week. The Yurko's Dozen's released on Twitter before we ever talk about it. Maybe. We need to discuss. What do you got, a mouse in your pocket?
You are scooping yourself.
What do you mean, we?
Right?
No, the keys are still private. The keys haven't been put out there.
I think the people might be.
And we're doing the keys coming up next.
All right. Yurko's got his keys coming up next.
What the hell?
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
The injuries around the NFL are plentiful, let's face it. The Bears, knock on wood, so far doing pretty well in the war of attrition, but they're catching another break. Julio Jones might not play this weekend. Now, they still are going to have to deal with Calvin Ridley, as we talked about, and a talented Atlanta offense. But the defense has struggled, and now Ricardo Allen has been ruled out. So the Bears catching another break.
One of their
starting defensive backs.
Wonderful.
Will not play because of a hyperextended elbow. So Ricardo Allen has been ruled out by the Atlanta Falcons for this weekend. Now it is time for the segment that everybody looks forward to on Fridays, Yurko's Keys.
This is Yurko's Keys to the Game.
Trubisky stepping up, fires down the sideline. Robinson makes the catch.
Yurko gives us what to watch for in this week's Bears game.
And it's intercepted, and it's Eddie Jackson under pressure again. Can he get away? No, he can't. Of course it's Mac.
Yurko's Keys to the Game, only on ESPN 1000.
All right, Yurko, I ask you, as the Bears try to move to 3-0 for the first time since 2013, they're a three-point dog on the road in Atlanta. What are the keys to the game?
Carmen, I'm glad you asked. And in the importance of loving these keys and wanting to give these keys to the individuals, too oft we end up with, oh, you've got to win the turnover margin. Oh, Mitch Trubisky has to play better. Oh, you've got to have a solid running game. And boy, do you need to have pressure on that quarterback. All of those are important, and all those are legitimate keys. But I tried to take a little bit of a deeper dive in something specific I'd like to see today, or I should say Sunday, Key number one. I'd like to see a second wide receiver become established, whether it's going to be Anthony Miller or the Mooney kid.
Yeah.
Either way, or Javon Wims. I don't care.
Darnell Mooney had more snaps.
Or if the Ridley that can't play could finally get in there and play and be activated to do something. Let's establish the second wide receiver so Allen Robinson could go ahead and breathe just a little bit. Mm. And if that second guy happens to be the aging, the decrepit, and the ever-slowing Jimmy Graham, fine. I don't care. Key number two. Thanks for asking, Carm. I want the running backs to be a little bit north-south. That includes Mitch Trubisky when he's running the ball. Running along the line of scrimmage aimlessly with no direction to go bothers the living hell out of me, even on a toss play where you get the ball in motion. And maybe this is a little bit of a salute to the Kansas Comet, who we lost this week, Gale Sayers. You pace, 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 slash, cut back against the grain, a la the great Gale Sayers, all right? So let's do a little bit of that, a little bit of north-south. I hate this east-to-west stuff never looks like it's ever going to turn its shoulders upfield to make some positive yardage. Key number three. Carm, we saw some sacks last week, did we not? Hakeem Hicks got in there.
Khalil Mack.
The Mighty Quinn got in there. Quinn. Khalil Mack. We saw a handful of sacks. You know what we're not seeing, though?
What's that,
kid? Is what I want for key number three, and that's consistent pressure.
Got it.
I am looking for consistent pressure out of my defensive line without the need for having to send a blitz. And when you do blitz, please send a Roquan Smith, because Roquan Smith one hell of a player. And we saw a great trend last week. More Roquan Smith, less Danny Trevathan. You cannot go wrong there. Key number four. That's right, a bonus key this week, Carm. Besides that pressure, you know what I like to see out of a defense that really kind of makes me feel good? It's not good for a baseball team. Three outs, not good for a baseball team.
No.
But for football, three and outs are absolutely fantastic. I would like the defense to see more three and outs, and let's get that ball back into the offense and let them run with Montgomery and with the rest of the fellas, Corderoy Patterson. Maybe even Tariq Cohen can get a run. I won't even
he's got
mind.
New paper, so.
He might be happy. Is he happy with six touches a game? I don't think so, Carm. That's less than 100 for the year. Not really efficient. And those are the keys to a Bears victory against the Atlanta Falcons in the Empire State of the South.
Bears.
That, Carm.
Bears.
Empire State of the South.
Empire State of the South, yes.
What do you think about that, kid?
Is that really what they call it?
The last time they're going to see a team or an organization come through, it was Sherman's March to the City.
Well,
that came through Atlanta, right?
It's a Civil War reference.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. For those who are not
Civil
learned,
War buffs.
Not learned.
Or not learned individuals.
I got to save this because DeYurko's dozen is on this, too.
How about
a different view of the keys to the game today?
I love it. It was very good.
Fun? A little bit different?
Very good.
Something fresh, something new to keep the kids there?
I like it, my friend. Yeah. And I like that you put your Baker's dozen on a napkin. It seems fitting.
What I do.
So DeYurko has tweeted it. You can follow him at Yurko64.
A lot of people have done business deals this way.
Sure. I'm at Carmen DeFalco. Hit us up on Twitter.
Bar napkins.
Yeah, absolutely. And
a couple of bottles of scotch.
That's a 13-pack with
13-pack.
I mean, you got a lot of unders. You hate unders normally.
I hate unders, but there's a week in the season where the unders come flying in.
You think it's week three?
I'm predicting it. Well, because the numbers have been adjusted high now. Wouldn't you agree that the Vegas has taken a look and said, wow, most points ever. Boo. Yeah, let's put these numbers up high.
Yeah.
So I did. And Buffalo in the under I like. I like Chargers in the under.
You like Buffalo, huh?
Seattle.
I like the Rams this weekend.
Yeah, well, I'm not shocked. Seattle, have you ever been to Buffalo?
I have never been
to
Buffalo.
Have you ever been to Buffalo? You know what it is? Like a team that comes from
Los
Angeles.
You fall asleep.
And you go to Buffalo.
I know, you've told me that. You say you fall asleep.
You go see water fall over the edge in Niagara Falls. How much fun is that?
How close is that to downtown Buffalo?
Oh, you're taking a little bit of a trip.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, you're taking a little bit of a trip, but it's right there.
I could see myself someday going to Niagara Falls.
I've seen it.
No, I bet it's beautiful.
It's amazing.
Right, yeah.
I mean, the power of nature, Carl.
I know I give Cleveland a hard time. Cleveland's actually not a bad little town, you know?
But my point is,
the idea of going
LA,
to Buffalo.
You go to Buffalo. How many times can you go to the Anchor Bar and get chicken wings?
I got news for you. If I don't ever step foot in Buffalo, I'm cool.
Yeah.
I'm good.
You know,
Joe Kim Noah once said, whoever goes to vacation in Cleveland. I don't know anybody that would ever say, I'm going to go vacation in Buffalo.
Don't let Gene Greco hear that.
Well, he doesn't care. He knows.
Never
he
been
knows
back
what's
either.
What do you mean, really?
They invited him into the Hall of Fame out there. He says, no
he
thanks.
He said, I'll pass.
I'll pass. You guys can have it.
He knows what's what. I mean, come on.
He left Buffalo to go to Dayton, Ohio.
Would you ever go to Buffalo?
Do you know how much an upgrade Dayton, Ohio is over Buffalo? So the point is, that's an anti-Buffalo, like, being there play. You know what I'm saying? So I don't even think that's got to travel there is miserable.
I got to be honest. I don't even think the people from Buffalo would call and be mad at us or defend it. I mean, I think they'd tell you, yeah.
They're like, right,
you
know, it's Buffalo.
It's Buffalo. I mean,
why do you think Patrick Kane doesn't want to go back?
There's no reason to go back. No. There's no reason to go.
I got news for you, by the way. The kid that's playing quarterback in Buffalo is probably the MVP through 2 weeks.
Josh Allen?
Josh Allen. I think you must not watch football and know that Russell Wilson plays in this league.
But hold on now. He's got no interceptions. He's got 6 touchdowns thrown. He's played some pretty good football. But again, it's Buffalo. So
you think Josh Allen is the MVP over Russell Wilson?
I do.
What he's saying is he's got some votes going his direction, I believe. I'm trying to couch his comments just a little bit for him.
I'd go back and watch the first 2 weeks if I was Merkin. Because there's only one MVP in the first 2 weeks. Who the hell gives out MVP awards in 2 weeks anyway?
This guy.
There's only one MVP through 2 weeks, and his name's Russell Wilson.
This guy, Randy Merkin's his name. He's handing out all types of MVPs right now.
That's it.
My heavens. By the way, there is a guy out there, and I'll give him a shout-out. His name's Bobby Berger. And Berger, for one reason or another, is a Buffalo Bills fan. I don't know where the hell I find these people.
If you're a kid and you grew up in the 90s and Kelly and Thurman and all those guys.
But. He's a Calumet City kid. He went to Thornton Fractional North. He's got a couple
Buffalo
of older
Bills
brothers.
Fan. Huh?
He's a Buffalo Bills fan. Jeez. Ad nauseum. I'll get a text from him. Did you see what Josh Allen did? Did you see what Josh Allen did? No, because I don't watch Buffalo. I watch the highlights of Buffalo.
Right.
What the hell am I going to watch Buffalo Bill football for?
Do you remember the last time? Well, I don't think it was even the last time they played. I think Jalen Ramsey said it a couple of times. You know, he's taking shots at Josh Allen. Remember, he said, didn't he call him trash?
Yes.
I think Jalen Ramsey called him trash.
Yes, it's going to be an interesting game.
The last time they played each other, he was still in Jacksonville, and Josh Allen won that game. They won by 3 in 2000. That would have been the 18th season.
It'll be interesting, Carm. So, I mean,
so you think the Rams are going to fall asleep? That's why you like Buffalo.
I think they're going to fall asleep when they head out there. I got Seattle again, the aforementioned Russell Wilson.
I kind of like Dallas. See, we're on a few opposite ends here. I like Dallas.
I got you.
The only reason I don't like Seattle this week, it's a lot of points to lay for a defense that has not been good, Yurko.
I got you.
And that's why Russell Wilson is the MVP. Do you know which team's given up the most yards in the NFL in 2 weeks? The Seahawks. They're not 2-0 without Russell Wilson.
I've got you.
So,
all right, you ready? Colts minus 11.5.
I never like laying double digits, but I think the Colts are going
to. But you're looking at a 24-3 game here. That's what you're looking at. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I mean, look.
24-3 with them running the ball a lot.
You're playing so many games. It's such you have to play a lot of these.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bet that with, with Merkin's money. I wouldn't bet that game. But, yeah, the Colts. The Jets are an embarrassment to football.
I mean, Packers plus the 3 against New Orleans.
I love that play.
Go back in the history of the Green Bay Packers playing down in New Orleans. Straight up, usually the underdog down there. Look at them straight up in New Orleans. They won the Super Bowl in New Orleans. The Green Bay Packers and the Green Bay Packer organization, doesn't even matter when, plays very well down in the city of New Orleans.
Well, on this we do not disagree. I think the Packers are the play getting the points this
weekend. There you go. I got Mini plus 2.5.
I like Mini plus 2.5. It's one of my best plays of the weekend.
By the way, the Packers over in that one, too. I've got the over in that one. I got New England.
Yes, against that's a good play, I think.
Minus
laying the points against Vegas. You know, short week, long travel for Vegas.
And I've heard that
emotional win.
I've heard that Jim Druckenmiller is playing quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers.
I don't think it's Jim Druckenmiller.
They've gone back in time. They've got Cher coming out to sing the national anthem.
Nick Mullins.
And it's going to be, if I could turn back time, Jim Druckenmiller is going to come back, and he's going to play quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers.
It's not that bad. They'll be playing Nick Mullins.
All right, it's Nick Mullins then.
I'm still hung up on Josh Allen's the MVP of the league, playing the Dolphins and the Jets in the first 2 weeks.
He's dominated.
Listen, do not look at quality of competition.
Merkin really is special. You know, just when you think you've heard it all from him, stuff like that comes out.
Karen, but how can
Josh Allen's the MVP.
But how can you say who you're playing? Because most of the times when you're right.
I mean, you can throw that out. That's true.
Take away Tree. You're playing 13 different teams. You're not even playing half the league, right? Because you're playing three teams twice.
Yeah, no, I know.
So you're just playing 13 different teams. That's my point. You can't say who have they played.
I know. I don't even mean that.
Right.
You could throw that out.
Listen, if we want to make fun of Merkin, let's just do it all day. We could dedicate 2 hours to making fun of the guy. I'm not going to do it, though. I'm not going
to
do it.
Oh, you chose this segment not to do it?
I'm not making fun of you. It's Friday, kid. Yom Kippur.
Merk, it's the first time he's taking a pass.
Kid, what is Yom Kippur? Is that the Festival of Lights? What do we have here?
That's Hanukkah.
the holiest day of the year.
This is the way
I
you repent.
The holiest day of the year.
Listen,
we repent. Do you have some sins? I'm sure you have a bunch I can put in my mind.
I'm
going
to tell you this, though. You got to apologize to the people you crossed, right?
Right.
Well, the line starts at my office.
Okay.
You better go apologize. You can come on over and just start apologizing from now until sundown.
Merck, are you going to fast?
I always fast, Carm.
JR, you fast?
Maybe.
Okay. Merck fast. Good for you, Merck.
Yeah, oh, Carm.
God's going to smile down
upon
you.
Carm, I've been doing it since I was like 7 years old. I fasted.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I asked my kids, and they're like, so will you fast with me this year? And they said, maybe through dinner. I'm like, well, that's like 2 hours.
He asked me if I was going to support him.
Yeah,
fast.
I said, you fast?
No. I told him, I said, I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, I go, what are you asking me to fast for?
I don't even fast when Catholicism tells me to fast.
I got my own issues.
I'm not going to do it for your holiday. I mean, I know.
Every Friday during Lent, I got my own issues, okay?
Good luck to you, kid.
Good Friday. When Jesus is on the cross, I've got to sit there, you know, on the knees.
Yeah.
Back in Catholic school, they made us.
I got to be honest, I had a sandwich.
We had to sit on the pencils. We had to kneel on the pencils.
I remember.
To punish ourselves.
Oh, stop it. You did not. Sam Adams is celebrating the return of sports to Chicago. Every day we're highlighting one of the best bars in Chicagoland, and today we salute the White Horse Tavern on the southwest side. Remember, text Sam to 31996. For your chance to win a Sam cooler and visit the White Horse Tavern, helping you celebrate the return of sports. We're going to go to Vegas and talk to our good buddy Todd Furman. We'll get some of his best plays for the weekend coming up next.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Miss something? The podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now. Get it in the App Store and Google Play.
How about Las Vegas, huh? With the win, the Raiders. I'm still kind of getting used to it, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Say it, baby.
But with the win at home on Monday Night Football. Now, I've said this for some time. There's no greater entertainment destination in the United States of America than Las Vegas. Now, listen, I have been to them all. Okay, I've been to theater. We live in Chicago. I've been to theater in Chicago. I've been to theater in New York. Okay, you understand what I'm telling you?
New York.
I've been to them all.
Concrete jungle where dreams are made.
And I'm telling you, they're the entertainment capital of the world. Now, the world's crazy right now because of COVID. But, you know, under normal circumstances, the entertainment capital of the world has become Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Sin City.
Not Monaco.
You see what those hockey games are like?
Vegas.
You see what the production is like? What do you think it's going to be like when fans are going to be allowed in the stands in Las Vegas in that new $1.5 billion stadium, whatever the hell
it's
called?
Beauty, Buck Carm. It's big.
Our next guest is going to be very excited to see what it's like when fans are allowed back in. He's one of our favorites. We've had him on for years, and a former odds maker turned gambling expert, and he's a superstar now. You see him on TV.
He's all
over the place. Bet the Board podcast. He is the one, the only Todd Furman. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. He is at Todd Furman, and he joins us live in Vegas now on ESPN 1000. Todd, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. I may be all over, but this will still always be home to me. I'm just disappointed that we have to talk sports gambling. I thought Yurk was going to go into a little more song and dance rendition, and that's how we were going to fill this whole block out.
We could. Yeah. We could just talk about when things are back to normal, what the shows in Vegas are like. There's nothing like Vegas now, Todd. You know it. It's incredible. And when they can fill that stadium, I can't even imagine what it's going to look like for NFL games.
I have to give Mark Davis a ton of credit for what he elected to do. Even if the governor were to lift the edict here and allow big crowds to start assembling in a limited capacity, he has pretty much come out and said, hey, look, we want this to be a celebration of football, Vegas' first foray into the professional ranks. So we want to be able to open the doors at Allegiant Stadium, fill it with 65,000 people clad in silver and black. And until we're able to do that, we're going to kind of hold back. So going to be extremely exciting next fall, ultimately, when we get fans in that building. But in the meantime, one hell of a way to kick things off with a big outright victory on Monday night against the Saints.
How about it, Todd? Through the first 2 weeks, we've seen on average, per game, more points, more yards than in any season since the merger, which goes back 50 years. Now, maybe this is just a trend that is going to continue because of the way football is played in an offensive era, a very analytic era. But how does Vegas start to adjust, maybe in terms of totals, to data like that through the first couple of weeks?
Well, I think the points and yards are here to stay. I really don't see that changing. You mentioned the analytics and the way that a lot of these teams are much more pass happy than they've ever been in the past. I can't see a regression where all of a sudden we're talking about ground and pound and totals consistently hung in the high 30s. But in terms of over-unders, we know it's a fluid market, and we have seen a rash of overs through the first 2 weeks. Bookmakers are going to adjust, and we're starting to see that this week with totals being bet up from where they opened in the low 50s. I mean, right now, the Cowboys and Seahawks total out to 57 pretty much across the board. You've seen a Lions and Cardinals total that opened at 51, now out to 55.5. And last night, the perfect illustration, Miami and Jacksonville on a short week, that over-under opened at 45, ultimately closed 49.5, and while I know it didn't get there, it took an improbable sequence of events and a number of empty possessions for that game to stay under the total with 44 points on the board.
All right, how about Bears? They go to the Falcons. Bears are always a better play when they're getting points. That's the case this week. The Falcons are really banged up, and they just announced that Ricardo Allen is not going to play in this game this weekend. Julio's a question mark. You know, is this a good spot for the Bears getting points this weekend in Atlanta?
Hey. It's interesting because we've seen this move kind of ping pong all over the place. The Falcons opened up earlier in the week as a 3-point favorite at FanDuel. Number got out to 4. You immediately started to see a little bit of buyback coming in on the Chicago Bears amid speculation that Julio wasn't going to be available. Now, Julio played last weekend for the Falcons, didn't look anything like himself. You know, underachieved quite a bit for season-long fantasy players and obviously anybody who was banking on a big DFS performance. But when you look at the dynamics here, I think those defensive injuries are even bigger for the Falcons. Without Ricardo Allen, who you mentioned has been ruled out, Kendall Sheffield expected to miss as well unless he goes through a miraculous recovery. And suddenly, the Bears' major disadvantage with a vertical passing game can be neutralized. Now, Atlanta does have viable weapons in the receiving core. Calvin Ridley is an aspiring number one. We've seen Russell Gage really step up his game as their number three, but this offense does so much for Julio. He attracts the attention of the top cover corner. If he's out, I really expect this game to start to trend towards 2.5, and it makes the Bears an even more intriguing underdog than they otherwise would have been.
Wow.
I head down to New Orleans where the Green Bay Packers take on the Saints. This one opened up. New Orleans -6 has moved all the way to -3. The Packers play very well down in New Orleans historically. I'm taking the Packers +3. What do you think?
Real interesting spot, because you mentioned it, Yurko. The number has adjusted considerably from where it opened, and I think a lot of that is attributed, obviously, to how the Saints looked on Monday night. But lost in that particular football game was the fact that New Orleans actually had a better than 2 yard net yards per play edge over the Raiders. They held the Raiders in check to less than 5 yards per play. They were just done in by some of that hidden yardage when it came to penalties. You look at the Saints, they've given up over 150 yards so far through 2 games on defensive pass interference, something that they're clearly going to have to try and address. And you look at the Packers, they come rolling in looking like a well-oiled machine offensively with 40-plus point outbursts, but you do have to wonder, was Green Bay's offense going to be this good, or has it been more the byproduct of facing two bottom feeder defenses in the form of the Detroit Lions, whose secondary was a mess, and Minnesota, who's breaking in a boatload of fresh faces? Typically in this business, you guys know as well as I do, you don't sell stock at the bottom of the market. For me, this is a play on the Saints at -3 in their own building, or pass. I think New Orleans is going to look a lot more like the NFC contender this week than what we saw Monday night against the Vegas Raiders.
Todd Furman's our guest. He is at Todd Furman on Twitter. Check out his podcast, which is great, the Bet the Board podcast. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You know, with the proliferation now, Todd, of legalized gambling everywhere, it's even hit Illinois, and you've got the apps and daily fantasy, but all these books now that offer up in-game wagers and all these different props. Is Vegas had to kind of adjust the way they handle business on an NFL Sunday? I mean, can you get a lot of those individual type props that these apps seemingly make available for everybody at just the click of their fingers? What's the adjustment been like for brick and mortar books in Las Vegas?
It's pretty crazy because we obviously used to be at the forefront, the only spot in the States where you could come place a legal bet on any of your favorite sporting events, but lost in the shuffle over the last 2 years. We've really taken a back seat to the other markets, and if you pull out your mobile phone anywhere in the state of Illinois on a Sunday, you're going to have more betting options at your fingertips than I have access to out here in the desert, because you talk about some of the props, you talk about some of the unique offerings. Golf betting has really been on the uptick as well, with top fives, top tens, top 20s. Everything you can think of now has a price attached to it, but Vegas books have been slow to react. There are some restrictive measures in place to get some of those innovative operators within our state borders. So unfortunately, I don't have access to nearly the same prop offerings as you guys do on a week-to-week basis. The crazy part about it is we have a couple of the same operators, but their menus in New Jersey and other states are far more expansive than what they are out here. So we do have the live betting capabilities, but not quite over-under on nearly every single quarterback on an NFL Sunday, running back, wide receiver. So I haven't been able to try and extrapolate value from some of those derivative markets the way I would like.
You got a NASCAR race out in Vegas this weekend. Who do you like in that NASCAR race, Harvick or Denny Hamlin?
Oh, we do. And you know what, Yurko, as a big-time NASCAR fan, I'm sad that I won't be able to make the 20-mile trek off Las Vegas Boulevard to Las Vegas Motor Speedway. And you mentioned the two guys that have really dominated. When you look at 550-horsepower tracks, which Las Vegas is from an aero package, those two guys have won 11 out of the last 17 races. But in Vegas specifically, Team Penske has really had a ton of success. And so when you're looking to build out your card, that team has said that, hey, look, for Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski, knowing what this race means in this particular race stage, they're placing a ton of emphasis here. So those would be the two guys I would look at more than the traditional favorites in Harvick and Hamlin. If you wanted to try and find a little bit of a flyer who's been racing well throughout this postseason, more for top 10 or a dark horse for top 3, I might take a stab on Austin Dillon, widely available, right around 11-1 to finish in the top 3.
You got a couple best plays you want to give out, buddy?
Sure, happy to go down that path, guys. And you know I don't do anything conventionally when it comes to the NFL. So we're going to start with an NFC North member who heads out west. But we're not going to bet the Lions for the full game plus the 6. I want to take them in the first half plus 3.5. We saw them kind of crater against Green Bay late. They should have Kenny Golladay back out there, which will make the offense more dynamic. And if they were to get behind early, not a ton of confidence, they're able to come back. So we'll take the Lions plus 3.5 in the first half. When we're looking at a total in the late afternoon schedule, I think Tampa and Denver first half over-under listed at 21.5. I like this game under. I think Denver with Jeff Driscoll has to be a little bit more conservative. This Bucs offense has failed to really light up the scoreboard in any capacity. And we'll go Monday night as well with the marquee matchup between Baltimore and Kansas City. I think the Ravens have to get out to a quick start. We've seen Kansas City a little bit sluggish and lethargic. I like the Ravens minus 3 in the first half. Don't feel comfortable laying the 3.5. And if you shop around, maybe you'll get lucky enough to lay a juice 2.5. I just don't see that popping anytime soon.
Great as always to talk to you, buddy. We'll catch up again next week. Happy wagering this weekend, all right, bud?
Always a pleasure. And, Yurk, I'm going to need some EPL action to get me going early Saturday morning. So when I hang up, I'm going to have to tune in and try and listen.
All right, appreciate it.
See you, Todd. There's Todd Furman, the Bet the Board podcast,
the EPL.
At Todd Furman on Twitter. EPL's back.
By the way, Everton's playing very well early on.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they got James Rodriguez.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, came from Real Madrid, Okay. Signed in the offseason. James, always a tremendous player.
I didn't know that. Mike North has his bonus play coming up next.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Greeny's coming up at noon. Then it'll be Waddle and Sylvie 2 to 6 on a football Friday. Black and Abdallah with the baseball show at 6. Mike North and I 7 to 8 with the odds couple tonight. College football. With the SEC opening up this weekend, a couple good matchups inside the top 25 that we got to talk about. Week 3 in the NFL, NBA, all that fun stuff. So Mike and I will cover all of that from 7 to 8 tonight. And Mike North joins us now for the bonus play. And Mike and I are struggling early on here. But that just means at some point we're going to pick him up and put him down. That's the way it goes. Right, Mikey?
Well, you know what I would have preferred? I mean, it's not like I've never gone 0-2 or 0-3. In a week. I would have preferred it in the middle of the season. I remember last year. And by the way, hello, Yerkes. Hello, Carmen.
I'm doing good, kid. How are you?
Great, buddy. I got to tell you, I mean, last year I remember when we debuted, the one thing I told you is no matter what happens, Carmen, we got to win the first week. And we did. We went 5-2. I hazard to say if we had the record we have now and we had started, there might be the people going, you know what I mean? But we got a resume. And then I saw just such a reminder of the old days, the 90s and the early 2000s, when I was putting them away two at a time and I saw Yerk's napkin.
That's a beauty,
kid. There's no doubt. Listen, by the time, look, I start drinking at 5, and by the time And I'd write down, I'd get home at night at about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning with 10 napkins in my pocket.
Yeah.
And the penmanship was so good at the beginning, and at the end, Philadelphia looked like I carved out the Matterhorn. You know what I mean? I couldn't even read my writing by the end of the night.
It looks like hieroglyphics on the Great Pyramid of Khufu.
Right, exactly.
Oh, are you kidding me? I mean, the Lost Ark guy, the guy with the hat, he had nothing on my hieroglyphics, believe me. One night I did the Detroit Tiger emblem perfectly, and I was trying to write the letter G. I mean, it's crazy.
No, that's good.
So anyway, I'm in a good mood. I feel good. We got a resume. Just remember, no matter what happens, folks, the show's great. Tune in tonight, and you're going to learn how to handle something called adversity. Because adversity to me isn't the name of the nightclub, ladies and gentlemen. And I've been there before, and I'm coming back with three picks for the Carmen Yurko. We're down 0-2, right?
Right.
Here's
right.
what I got. I got the Raiders. If it's 5.5 or 6, I think they're going to keep it close. There's not much disparity in the rankings offensively and defensively, but New England has been good. And here's what the terrifying aspect of this is. Bill Belichick, after a loss, is 51-26 in his career. So it's a very tough pick, but the system gave it to me. I believe in what I'm doing. And here's another one. This is the hold on to your hats, Carmen Yurko pick of the week. I just know that Greeny might be smiling if he finds out that I am taking the New York Jets plus 11.5 and an
big
over
number.
44 with the parlay. I know Philip Rivers. I know the carpet. Keep it close. I know the Jets are under siege. They look like a semi-pro football team. There's no doubt about it.
Wow.
I think the line should be 13.
All right. Oh boy, the Jets.
Boy,
the Jets hurt
guys,
me last
you know
week.
What?
Oh boy.
I'm mad at the Jets after last week. No, of course not. Of course not.
I'm still mad at John Jefferson.
I gotta pretend nothing ever happened. I'm like a closer in baseball.
That's right.
That
you gotta put it out of your mind. Raiders plus the 5.5, Jets plus the points and the over in that game.
I'm scared to death.
I am scared
to death.
See you tonight at 7, Mike.
All right, guys.
See you, buddy. There's Mike North at North to North. Yes, we'll have 7-8 tonight.
I'm still mad at Altoon.
Altoon.
Yeah.
Or his son, Nick.
Out of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Out of Wisconsin.
Both of them, right?
Both of them, yeah. Nick was a real good player,
Nick
too.
Nick was very good.
He had a younger boy named Carr.
Funny guy.
I get it. Yeah. By the way, happy birthday, 55, to Scottie Pippen, the second greatest Bull of all time.
Come on. Pippen is 55 today?
Pippen is 55.
He's number two.
Happy birthday to Scottie Pippen.
You've got him at number two in front of Norman?
Yeah, Scottie.
Norm Van Leer?
Scott's number two.
There's no debating who's one and two. Michael, Jeffrey Jordan, and Scott Pippen. What if we just call them Scott? Scott Pippen. Yeah, that's one and two.
Come
that's
Scottie.
Easy. That's as easy as it gets in this town, isn't it? One and two?
I miss those days, the Last Dance.
You miss those days?
Oh, those were...
It was fun.
So I couldn't wait for Sunday night.
Last dance.
All right, what do we think for Bears? You going Bears? Bears?
Hey, listen, it's tough. You're going down to Atlanta. Do I think that the Bears are better than Atlanta? Yeah, you're going on the road. I saw what their first road game looked like. The Bears looked absolutely terrible. So we'll see. It's going to be tough.
Won.
They're going to be. It's good. They're in tough down there in Atlanta. Desperate team, 0-2.
Very desperate team.
Desperate team.
A lot of injuries for Atlanta, and a lot
you
of injuries for a bunch of teams around the league.
You
but
know, you might come in high on the hog. I'm worried. I worry about this game for the Chicago Bears.
I think it's a desperate Atlanta team that squeaks out a 1-point victory. How about that? Late field goal to put ahead.
I hope we're both wrong. Our feelings. Yeah. I hope we're both wrong. I hope the Bears win and they go 3-0.
How you doing with your wager with your guy, Cubs Sox? You're gonna this
He's
weekend.
He's up right now. This weekend's important. I just put another 100 on the series itself.
What the Sox have 34 and the Cubs have 31?
So
is that right?
Yes, Eloy 34-32.
Oh, 34-32, okay.
Eloy Jimenez is leading in home runs over my guy Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah.
He's obviously winning by 200 right now in the games, and I've got a $100 wager, so it could be a $600 loss.
All right.
Or it could minimize to nothing.
Have a good weekend, all right, buddy?
All right,
see you Monday. Everybody have a great weekend. Merck, happy Yom Kippur. Have an easy fast there,
thanks,
buddy.
Carmen.
JR, you too, pal.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks to Midway Jeff Meller, JR Strauss, Randy Merkin. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the football and everything else. And for the good kid, I'm Carm. Greeny's next. See ya.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord has split you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more.
I think the cool people liked it.
I don't think that's whack. I think that's dope.
Mamma mia!